Romans. Go to Romans, please. Chapter 1. How about everybody be in range of one person you can talk to right now? Just be close enough where you can speak to someone. Or two even. You know, it don't matter. Just get close enough because we might have a little exercise here, okay? And we might need some help. Yeah, it's a comfortable place to be. I bet Mama will come over and take care of y'all. She'll get in the middle of you. Mama, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans 1. God gave me a dream the other night. It was very short. But I was riding my motorcycle towards Louisville on 150, and I came up to the where it starts four lanes and there's a grass median in there. And as soon as I got to where that grass median was, I seen somebody walking up the grass median. They were holding a book. And as I went by, I noticed it was a Bible, and they were speaking or praying. And I looked over at the person. It was Dean Purvis. I'm like, wow. Dean Purvis was like in a youth group. He was in the church when it started in living rooms and stuff. And I thought, what does that mean? You know, and I didn't even put it together until just now. But when I was at the hospital visiting your daddy, as I was walking out, this big old guy comes out from behind the curtain, and he's got on a white outfit, so I know he's painting or he's doing drywall. I'm like, and he had a beard. And as soon as he said, hey, man, what's going on? I knew it was Damon Beckley. I'm like, that dream and that thing happened the same. So I know God's saying something. But Dean, at one time, God gave us an awesome youth group, and I think it's partially because there was a great revival going on at Graceland Baptist Church. I don't know if y'all remember in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, right? There was a great revival going on. In fact, it was so great that there was a show called 60 Minutes, and they did a daring expose of how they were casting demons out of people and what an occultish thing it was to cast demons out of people. And it was like God was moving. And the thing about it is, God was moving. I never went to a service at Graceland Baptist Church, but we were working with youth, and we had a heart for souls. And that anointing, that corporate anointing, was flowing on any church that would embrace it. And we had no idea. But I know that was, there was revival burning in southern Indiana. I mean, really. Really, there was revival burning. And I worked with a boy who went to 9th and O, and he gave me a handout one day. He was a good Christian boy, but it said, don't go to Graceland Baptist Church, it's a cult, you know. And it's like, you know when the enemy starts throwing mud at you, you know something's going on. So anyway, all that's going on, I thought, God, what's this dream mean? Because it was so, you know, other than the details of him reading the Bible, and I thought, what's this mean? So I got to thinking, people, armor bearer, God's given me armor bearers ever since I've been working with people. And it was like, Dean was, he was the guy. He'd go out and get kids in that Jeep, and he'd haul them out to our house, and he would just go do. He was a servant, and y'all have had people like that in your life, or you've been people like that. That's an awesome gifting. But then, right before, and then God sent Mike, and Mike went up in the barn with me, and I'd had a vision of building a church in the loft of our barn, which was a barn. And I took Mike up there, and we sat up there on hay bales up in the top of this barn in the loft. I mean, we just sat up there, and I told him what God showed me. And we prayed, and he agreed. I mean, you can't get too many people to agree with something like that. So that was powerful and mighty, and that sparked, that gave me enough confidence to, and my dad, which he's a Christian, but he was not spirit-filled by any means, the roof, the wind came through there and blew the whole section of roof off that thing. It was like, it was laying in a field. I'm talking 100 by 100 piece of roof. This was a big barn. And I'm like, man, you know, this barn's cooked. My dad come over there one day, he said, I think we can put it back up, Mark. I'm like, you're 70-something years old, man. How are we going to put this thing back up? And I'm like, yes, I have somebody that says it can be done. So we did it. Praise God. It was amazing. It was amazing. It probably wasn't the most perfect carpentry work ever done, but it was solid. And so then God came along and revival hadn't birthed yet. We loved Jesus. We loved souls. We loved worship. We had everything together except one thing. We weren't baptized in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I had received the gift of tongues a number of years ago, but if you don't cultivate that, and if you're not around other people that are, you know, you get dull, you get thick. Then he brought out Jason McCarty out to youth group, which was, wow, he was like, what was that movie about the two crazed guys? What was the name of that? Bill and Ted? Well, he would put you in mind of somebody like that. But anyway, his dad come in one time. He said, well, he told me later, I really come into y'all's house to see if this was a cult, because y'all would hang out for 3 or 4 hours. And, well, Ted, he got born again. And then he hung out in our church for a while. And then he ended up going to Church on the Rock. I thought, why'd you leave our church? Well, you know, God drew him somewhere where there was something he needed to learn. He came back, and Ted was an armor bearer. He was like, he was this big and this tall, but he was a warrior. And so him and they came back to the church. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. He came back to church, and him and Jan said, we need carpet. All we had was a plywood floor. We need carpet in here. We're like, okay, for what? Well, they knew, because they'd seen visions of people falling and laying all over the floor and stuff. We weren't even there yet. So they bought the carpet and put it in the church. And wasn't too long before I got kidnapped and went to Brownsville Assembly of God. And I came back and everything changed. You know, God was moving in power. So all that was set up. And I think what God was showing me, there's a lot of people from your church, there's a lot of people in your past that I'm fixing to bring you, hook you back together with. So just be praying God will send in the laborers. I'm not saying everybody's got to come in, used to be in a church, but the thing is most people that leave in church splits, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you don't watch out, a lot of them are casualties, and they never are able to plug in anywhere or light anywhere, you know, so the hurt needs to be cleansed. Romans, I didn't mean to take up so much time on all that, but I was thinking, I wrote down some stuff the other day, and I thought days of awe. And if you know anything about days of awe, it's Day of Atonement, it's Passover, it's all that, those festivals going on then, and they're all about repentance. They're all about getting your life straight with the Lord and getting your past straight, right? Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that all that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So God made everything clear with his attributes on this planet that there is a God, and there's no excuse for not acknowledging there's a God. And it goes on to talk about, but some people worship the creation rather than the Creator. And so that's called witchcraft, is what worshiping the creation is. You could put any name you want on it, earth worship, you could nature worship, but God goes on to say, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for another man, for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do this, well, anyway, that's a lot. But, and this is not a sermon on, you know, homosexuality at all, but if you notice, that was lumped with a whole lot of other things, which was even disobedient to parents. So what God's saying is God was God, but people refused to acknowledge him as God, right? Because if God is God, God has ways and paths that we're to follow, right? But when we choose not to follow him, there comes a point in time where people are given up to a debased, reprobate mind. They're given over to a mind, really they become mentally ill. Right, they can no longer feel the presence of God. They can no longer feel the conviction of God.
They don't know right from wrong anymore.
And yes, you're right. And we're dealing with a society that no longer knows what is right or wrong. They don't know. And of course, that's our job to tell them, because they do not know what right or wrong is. I talk to people every day. They have no clue. Why is that wrong? Why doesn't God like that? Look, you gotta know what the Word of God says, right? You gotta know what the Word of God says. God's not gonna love you because you don't break these commandments. God's not gonna send you to heaven because you don't break these commandments. If you love God, though, you're gonna find out what pleases him. And so Romans starts out with, you acknowledge God. You must acknowledge that God is. And there's a verse that said, you must acknowledge that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Tell somebody next to you, God is.
God is.
God exists.
God exists.
Come on, God is real.
God is real.
God is powerful.
God is powerful.
God created me. God created everything on this planet. God is good. God hates sin.
God hates sin.
That's a good one, Mike just said. Back when I used to work with, well, I work with youth group again, but back many years ago, there was a group called Mylon, Lefevre, and Broken Heart. And I loved them. They were good. He was just an old saved drug addict. But I remember they came out with an album or a song called Love God, Hate Sin. And I had a t-shirt. It had their tour on it, I guess. But on the back, it had block letters this big. Said, love God, hate sin. You talk about when you walk down the street, a shirt that gets like silence. It was that. So, love God, hate sin. That's a good, that's good theology. Chapter 2, verse 1. Say, God judges sin. God judges sin. Tell somebody next to you. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Do you despise richness of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Yeah. You get them, Jack. So if you're judging somebody that's if you're judging somebody, then you have no right to judge anyone, but you have the responsibility to warn, wouldn't you say? Warn of the coming judgment, judgment on America, warn of the coming judgment on the church, warn of the coming judgment on your life if you're doing certain things, right? Like if you're shooting heroin, guess what? You're going to get addicted. If you're shooting heroin, guess what? You're probably going to die. You're probably going to get an overdose one day. And they're not going to have that little vial of, what do they call it, narco. There's something you can shoot in there, and it brings you back to life, basically. But you got to know that the path you're on leads to death. And we know she's coming out in Jesus' name, too. Romans 3:23. Y'all know that? You should know it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look at a person next to you and say, you've sinned. You have sinned. Now tell them, I have sinned. I have sinned. All God, all of us have sinned. Everyone has sinned. Everybody has sinned. And fall in what? Short of what? The glory, the majesty, the presence of God, the manifest presence of God. We've fallen short of that. So that makes it real clear, don't it? So that means you are a sinner. I know. And I'm not saying we're just sinners saved by grace. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying even now we sin, but we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blood washes us from all sin. I'm trying to teach y'all some verses here where you can witness to people with. You knew. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Everybody's sinned. You go to somebody and say, you know what? You've sinned. How do you know that? Because the Word of God says everybody's sinned. I sinned, the preacher sinned, Billy Graham sinned. You fill in the blank. Everybody sinned. Mike Bickle sinned. Steve Hill sinned. They all sinned. They were all sinners. Right? You ever witnessed anybody with the Ten Commandments? I did several times, and I seen a guy come to the Lord, and his whole family was on fire for God in 2 weeks. Now, I've not seen that too often, but again, you're ministering to a generation, a country that don't know what sin is. So here's the easy way to do it. How many of y'all know the Ten Commandments? You probably at least have a vague idea. What's the first one? What is it? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Well, Jesus put it into two, didn't he? He said that one and love your neighbor as yourself, because the first five, I believe, apply to your relationship with God, and the next five put your relationship with people. But you can say to them, say to your neighbor right now, have you ever told a lie? Ask them. Now you answer them. Answer them honestly. Have you ever told a lie, Rachel? At least one. More than one. So that makes you what? A liar. Have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? Anything, a pencil at work, a piece of paper from work, anything. No, I don't mean you just borrowed it. Ask them, you ever take anything that didn't belong to you? So what's that make you? A thief. Have you ever committed adultery? A lot of people go, well, no, I haven't done that. But Jesus strengthened it with, if you look on a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in her heart. So how many of y'all would say, no? How many of y'all would say, ask them, have you ever committed adultery? You don't have to answer. If you ever looked lustfully, you did. So everybody in here, so what's that make you? An adulterer, a fornicator, right? Wait, let's get down to what is fornication? Does anybody know? See, we don't even know the meaning of this stuff. Yes. Having sex with somebody you're not married to. Of course, you got to define marriage between one woman and one man. That's the way it's always been in every civilization ever. So this is a brand new paradigm. You know, it don't even. So, we've did what? We're lying, thieving, adultering. What was the next one? Fornicators. Well, that kind of fits in with adultery. Have you ever, let's go to the biggie. Have you ever murdered anybody? Anybody here ever murdered anybody? You know what the Bible, you know what Jesus strengthened that one too. He said, if you hate somebody in your heart, you've already murdered. So, we're dirty, thieving, rotten, murdering. We could go on. Have you ever, coveted after something, you know? Have you ever wanted something that's belonged to somebody else and you wanted to get it without putting any effort forth? If you ever played the lottery, you are guilty. People say, what's the guilt of gambling? It's lusting after something you don't have. It's, what's the word I just said? Coveting. It's coveting. So you can take all these things and you can say it nicely, but if you'll take that and go, okay, if you were God and somebody stood before you and they had broken every one of the Ten Commandments, would you let them in? If you were a holy God and you had to judge sin, what would you do? You're guilty. And after about the third one, this young man, this was a hard case guy that worked with us in construction. So we worked in, I was a lineman. These boys, they were contractors that helped us bury cable and stuff because we didn't do that dirt work. But anyway, this guy started weeping right there in the street. And he said, oh, yes. He said, yes, I'm guilty. And it's like, what do I do? And like I say, within 2 weeks, him and his family were even spirit. They were going after God with all their heart. So I'm not saying that's always going to happen, but you've got to make people aware of the truth, right? So you've got to make them aware. You are a sinner. So that leaves you pretty hopeless, don't it? But say to your neighbor, God gives you a way out if you want it. God will give you a way out of that if you want it. The Bible says, Romans 5, 6, and 8, when we were still without strength, in due time, which means at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates, what's demonstrate? Shows, proves, demonstrates his own love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, y'all know what that is? The wages, what's a wage? What you earn. It's like if you work all week, it's your paycheck. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So sin brings death, but Jesus gives us a way out. How do I escape this? Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So, the Romans wrote, it's good stuff. It's very good stuff. It's good to have these scriptures so you can witness to people with them, and you'll feel confident that you know from the Word of God you don't get tripped up, right? Of course, the Holy Spirit's going to step in, and he's going to put words in your mouth. You're not going to sit there and read off, well, you could sit there and read off a card, but I wouldn't take it too serious. But get it in your heart. Get it in your memory. You know what, Mary? You can paraphrase. Did you know that? I paraphrase Scripture to people all the time when I'm talking to them, and they don't even know I'm saying Scripture. Have you ever done that? You'll throw a Scripture principle out there, and they're like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And they'll be lost as a ball in high weeds, but they'll recognize that there's truth in there, and there's light in that Word. So do that. Periodically, do that daily. Throw that seed out, okay? But when you get a chance to actually lead somebody to the Lord, you know, I heard a statistic. I forget who was teaching. I really respected them. I must not have respected them too much, or I'd remember who it was. But they said that when we get to heaven, where how they came up with these statistics, I don't know. When we get to heaven, only 3% of the people in heaven will have led anyone to the Lord. But another statistic is that only 3% of Christians witness to people. How will they hear? How will they learn without a preacher? How will they know without a preacher? You are preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are evangelists. Get it in your heart. I'm going to lead people to the Lord. And look, if you lead somebody to the Lord, Justin, you can lead somebody to the Lord, brother, and they won't accept it. But you've led them there. It's not your... See, we put pressure on ourselves. What if they say no? What if they reject me? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the gospel. And hopefully, in Jesus' name, they'll get another chance. But you have washed the blood off of your hands. And it's not like I want to throw people away, but it's like I want to be sure that this person doesn't check out without hearing the gospel. Everybody should hear the gospel. What about them people over in other countries that... Hey, there's people getting saved in dreams. There's Muslims getting saved in dreams. God will make a way for his name to be known. Praise the Lord. But he tells us to go, go, go. And then convince them to get water baptized. I tell people all the time in food pantry, well, I was baptized. I said, when did you come to know Jesus? Well, when I was whatever year old, I got baptized. I said, so what? You just come out wet? Did you know Jesus? Did you confess Jesus? Well, and see, there's that religious, I've done something. I've done something for God that pleases Him. No, the only thing that pleased God was the blood. The blood pleases Him. The confession of Jesus pleases Him. Our works are filthy rags. Hey, the Bible says if we know Jesus, there's going to be good works, but good works will not. And you need to let people know that, because when you start witnessing to somebody, chances are, what's the first thing they're going to say? I'm a Christian. Don't ask them if they're a Christian. Please don't, because that's just an American term. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, what makes you a Christian? When did you get born again? I don't know. I was probably a teenager or 5, 6, 7, 8 years old or something. And they have no landmark of when things changed for them. I'm just trying to encourage you that there's people out there just, they want to know Jesus. They want to know freedom. They want to have some peace in their life. Right, Susan? There's people that want peace in their life. Praise God you did. Praise God I did. I'll read you one more scripture and then we're going to have fun. Does that sound good? I feel a fire tunnel coming on. I feel like some people really need a dip in the water. Praise God. Acts 9:19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, these are disciples, which is what? Followers? Is that what a disciple is? Somebody that's trying to walk in a discipline or, right? Praise God. Amen. Preach it. I like that. I like it. Si, come on. Give me an amen. Loudest one you got, brother. Give me an amen. Amen. Nana, give me a glory. Come on, glory! Give me a glory. Rachel, your best glory.
Glory.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Sister, yeah. Finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Go to 4:29. This is scripture for the fire tunnel. Acts 4:29. And it will not say fire tunnel in there anywhere, okay? It will not say, you will not find the word fire tunnel anywhere in the Bible. You will not find the word rapture anywhere in the Bible, I don't think. Is it? Where's it at? No, I mean you won't find the word rapture.
No, I'm talking about the fire tunnel.
Oh, the fire tunnel. Well, yeah, Elijah did. Yeah.
The whirlwind
of fire, yeah. We'll take it. We'll take that then. We do have a scripture. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look upon their threats. What? The disciples, the followers of Jesus all came together and prayed, right? They came together praying and seeking God's face because they'd just been beat up and whipped and put down for doing what?
Preaching
the gospel. Just what you're trying to learn to do. And y'all know it better than I do. But what you're going to do this week, you're going to go and you're going to make converts.
Amen.
In the hardest of hardest places, Rachel, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
extend your hands over here to Rachel. She's going through, man, she is in hell. No, really, she is in the public schools in Jefferson County. That's where I went to school, but it wasn't like that then. It's like they curse her and call her all kinds of names, vile names. And when you tell the principal, they go, well, we can't do nothing about it. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you. You take the light. How many of y'all? Is there any other teachers? Opal, y'all stand up. Opal, stand up. If you teach in a public school, anybody else? Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name, God. I pray for open doors of opportunity. I thank you, God, that these children, these teenagers, God, they're broken. They're fatherless. God, there's no telling what they have seen in their lives, but God, you would bring them to a point where they would hear the truth. They would even just see the truth and the light on these teachers that love you, Jesus. God, we pray for a great revival in this school. God, we pray all the seeds that have been planted, God, in these schools, God, come to fruition. We pray, God, for revival, 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 God, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, show yourself strong, Jesus. God, heal our schools. Heal our schools, Jesus. And God, give open doors of opportunity again. And praise the Lord. Because you know what? I feel like you two don't give a rip what the ACLU says. I think if God puts something in your mouth, you will not back up. I know Opal would not back off. You don't need to be scared of them. I was on the bus one day. I like to ride with Donna. She has a bus aid because she's got special needs bus. But I was praying with some. I was praying in there, and I was telling some kids about Jesus, you know. And this one little boy comes up to me and puts his finger in my face and goes, "You can't say Jesus. Separation of church and state." I calmly said, "I just did, and I'm going to say it again." Didn't get fired. So, you know, we used to have a saying, I was looking for a job when I came here. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Lord, we pray this prayer. Lord, look on the threats of the enemy. Look on the threats of the world, God. Look on the threats of political correctness right now and grant your servants. We are your servants, Lord. We lift up our hands and acknowledge we are your servants. That you grant us boldness that we may speak your word. That God, by stretching out your hand, God, to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were in the upper room. They had already been filled with the Holy Spirit, but guess what? We leak. We need to be freshly filled with the Holy Spirit, praise God. I need it. You need it. We get dull, dry, thirsty. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit because you can't walk in joy. You can't walk in victory. You can't walk in peace unless the Holy Spirit is working through you and in you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a garment of praise. Just stand up and humor me. Just take off that garment of heaviness. Just take it off. Drop it to the floor and stomp on it. Take off that garment of heaviness and depression and just put it under your feet in the name of Jesus. But don't stop there, because if you don't put something on to replace it, it's going to jump right back on you. In Jesus' name, we put on. Oh, we put on that beautiful garment of praise. It defeats depression. It defeats doubt. It defeats fear. Praise the Lord for the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Come on. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Come on. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Yeah, Lord. Fill us. Come on, more. I want more, God. I want a fresh anointing. I need a fresh anointing from heaven, God. Ho, shondabare sikatea. Jesus, more. Prepare me, God. Lord, prepare me, God. Lord, prepare me, God, to be a vessel useful for you and your kingdom, Jesus. I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. You don't have to. I don't know why you wouldn't want to, but you don't have to. I'm going to make it real clear, because we always get it wrong. Let's get all the way. Let's start all the way at the baptismal hot tub. Let's start right here. One person here. Come here a second, Susan. I just want to show y'all. You get there. Just enough room for most people to walk through. Somebody bigger comes through, we can back up a little bit. Well, I can't. What we're going to do is make two lines, you know, even number. We're not matching up with anybody, but what's going to happen is the first person is going to walk through there, and everybody's going to pray for them. And they're going to get so filled with the Holy Spirit, they might not even be able to function. We'll just have to throw them off on the side on the carpet or something. So Then you can get up and finish. You can stay right there. You're in first place. Y'all make two lines if you want to get prayer. Call it a fire tunnel, because it's biblical, right, Jenny? Elijah.
He went up in glory.
Yeah, he did go up in glory. I agree.
Come on.
I agree. I need a fresh touch. You need a fresh touch. Hey, and if it ain't enough, you just start the line all over again and let it flow again. Hey, brother, I seen you got a shofar. Let's blow them together right quick. We'll call down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got any certain? Just blow, huh? Yeah, Lord. Yes.